Welcome in to another episode of Run the Damn Podcast. Rob Snyder alongside Craig Kolodny. And yes, we have a guest after Jack Loughran 4 or 5 weeks ago. And we were like, oh, we're going to have guests. We're up to guest number two now tonight.
Should we do it?
Good friend Andy Santillo, good friend and Bills fan Andy Santillo joins Run the Damn Podcast. Good reveal, Craig. Good reveal.
Santillo shuffle right there.
Yeah.
It's like the Collins were a slide.
Andy, first of all, how the hell are you?
Good, very good. Pleased to be the second, I don't know if I'm the second invited guest, but the second accepted guest on this esteemed podcast.
Nobody would ever turn us down, Andy. Yeah, everybody seriously. That we invite comes
Well, I didn't
on.
Know that. I
just... We bet 1,000 with invites turning into them joining us, yeah.
Yeah, at least we're 2 for 2. But important to note, Andy, a very big Buffalo Bills fan.
Yes, and that's where we're going to start, because the reason we were inviting Andy on in the first place was because the Patriots are on a bye week, obviously, this week, and the Eagles play tomorrow night. So Craig and I, our fandom took a backseat today, which is honestly, I don't know, kind of relaxing, although my day was not relaxing, but in a football sense, it was relaxing. So we're going to have Andy come in and talk about next week's game. Turns out the Bills had the game of the day. Against the Bengals in the snow in a wild one where Andy actually threatened that he was going to cancel being on the podcast because of the way the Bills were playing.
Which, we had Andy booked for a while. Andy was booked for a solid 4 or 5 days.
Let me just say that we started a podcast the year that we thought the Patriots might still suck. And I've been talking about the Eagles Harry High School offense for the last 6 weeks. So no cop out. With that one, but the Bills did win. Andy, what were your thoughts on watching the Bills go from almost their fifth loss to their ninth win now? Ninth win.
Yeah. Well, what a game. I mean, I guess first and foremost, what a performance. They scored 3 touchdowns. In the final, I think, they scored them in the final 7 minutes, but I think it was in like a 4 minute stretch.
Yep.
To really, go from being down, and it was a lot of emotions. They fumbled into the end zone late when it looked like they were going to take the lead. Then you're thinking, how are they going to stop Burrow? They're trailing. The fact that they were able to come from behind and win that game, just wild. I mean, they're down. I think it's the second game where they've been down 10 or more points in the fourth quarter and won the game. They couldn't stop Burrow in the first half. I mean, I thought this was be kind of how it had to play out for the Bills to win. I knew Burrow was going to move the football. The Bills defense typically, if you've seen a lot of their games, and I'm sure you guys have, in the first half, they typically give up more offense, right? You saw like the Falcons game earlier this year. They give up a whole ton of points, and then they kind of make adjustments and – they didn't really give up many points until the end when it just got kind of nutty. They had only given up, I think, 1 touchdown in the second half. So to come from behind like that, I mean, huge win. It's been a weird season for the Bills. I mean, you talk about that win against the Ravens in week 1. I mean, if you just look at the quarterbacks they've beaten, they've beaten Mahomes. Now they've beaten Burrow. They beat Lamar. And then they've lost to some guys who you would
didn't
say
beat Drake May.
Didn't beat Michael Penix.
They didn't. Yeah, they lost some Johnny Come Latelys like Michael Penix and Davis Mills and Drake May.
God, Davis Mills.
Yeah, not to immediately get off the game. But my next question, and you kind of set me up for it there, was when you compare this year's Bills team to the last few years, how is this team different, and do you feel better about this year's team or worse about this year's team?
I guess I would say probably, I don't know how you can say better. I mean, I think the weird thing, and I think this goes for football in general, is when teams are playing well, it looks easy, right? Like, you're just like, why don't they just do that every single play? Like, the Chiefs, when they're moving the ball, the Patriots back in the day with Brady, just move the ball and just like guys are open and it's like, this is easy. And that's how it used to be for the Bills on offense. Now it's like they're throwing screens. They're, 8 minute drives to get down to the end zone. And the problem is you turn the ball over, the game shortened. They said on the broadcast today, the Bengals are having their 6th drive at the start of the fourth quarter. I mean, it's really hard to have any room for error there when you're only having 6 or 7 drives.
Can't get off
throughout the game. you know, so you know, the offense looks a lot different.
So what's the difference? Why do you think they're struggling? Why do you think they're struggling? Like, you watch Josh Allen, he's still making plays. Is it the fact that they don't have a wide receiver that can?
Yeah, I was going to say, did they deplete their receivers so much that it's actually
still
just
there. Shakir's still there? Who's made
the strange
a ton of
thing
plays,
is like I think they, you know, two things. I think they're a better team when they come out and establish the run with James Cook, and it's kind of weird because obviously Josh Allen's the reigning MVP, and you think like, okay, everything should run through him. But like, I think when they establish their offensive line and the running, the offense just opens up more, right? And then when they don't turn the ball over, I mean, I jotted down here in their 9 wins, they have 7 turnovers. So basically less than 1 a game. In their 4 losses, including to New England, they have 11 turnovers. So
look at
the
show prep,
Rob.
You're
going to lose games. And that's something they haven't done in the past, you know, in the last few years, they haven't turned the ball over very much. So I think they're making things more difficult on themselves, but also, yeah, I mean, when you look at that receiving core, you know, it's not talented, but Josh has made things work. I mean, you know, obviously they had Diggs, but other than that, I mean, they had, you know, Mac Hollins, and they had guys who Gabe Davis, who's now back with the team. I mean, they had guys who, you know, could just kind of fit in here and there and didn't necessarily demand the ball. I mean, you know, I think the loss of Curtis Samuel hurts. You know, I think they thought that they maybe could like kind of work their way through this. And then Kincaid was out for a few games. Like, you're already kind of like a house of cards. And then you take out a few of the bottom layers and things kind of start to look like they're falling apart.
What do you think about McDermott?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I want to know about McDermott.
My exact question.
He's somebody Rob and I have discussed. I don't know if we've discussed on the pod, but he's somebody that without Josh Allen, he would be in my bottom five coaches, I feel like, very frequently. And kind of maybe like Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. But I feel like they've wasted a lot of opportunities, and I feel like he is on very thin ice. I think if there's no AFC title game for Buffalo this year, he's out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is, again, you know, I'm looking at this a lot differently, being a Bills fan. You know, before McDermott came, there was no success, right? I mean, they had not been to the playoffs in 17 years. So the fact that they've been to two AFC championship games, you know, they've been the 2 seed, I think, 4 of the last 5 years you know, in the playoffs on the AFC side. I mean, they really have only lost to the Chiefs. I mean, they've lost to the Bengals once. They've lost to the Chiefs in some agonizing ways. And the Chiefs have been that team that have been really beating everybody. So, I mean, I understand the question, and I think it's fair. But I also just saw a stat that McDermott won his 95th game, which I think in his first 9 seasons puts him 3rd all time. He passed, I think, John Madden and somebody else. So, you know, I mean, you could say a lot of that is riding on is on 17 coattails.
Yep.
But again, you know, I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised necessarily if they made a move just because they've hit the wall so many times in that same position. You know, but I think he's a good coach, and I think he's really made the most. I mean, if you look at the defense, you know, they get piled on a lot about, you know, how they can't stop the run and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, they've had injuries. You know, they had guys, their 2 big acquisitions were suspended for the first 6 games of the year. You know, so I think he's really kind of pieced this thing together. And you know, he gives it, you know, they have a chance to win every single time out. And I know that's a lot to do with Josh Allen, you know, but I think he's a good coach. And I think the sign of that would be is if he was fired by the Bills, he would be hired instantly, I think. Maybe not as a head coach, because I don't know what other openings would be, but I think he would be instantly hired. And I think that's kind of your sign is like, who are you going to get to kind of push you over the, like, who's out there? Maybe if you could maybe identify somebody who you really thought could push you over the top. I mean, like, look at what the Knicks did recently, right? You know, they get rid of Thibodeau. They think maybe his message has run stale. I know it's different sports, but like, this is your risk, right? Like, is this going to be the move that puts you over the top? Or if you don't go further, does everybody, you know, look back and say, you know, that was the wrong move? And
but don't you think, and I don't know what you think, Rob, but, and I kind of want to ask you this. Don't you think any coach could coach that team right now and get them to 10 wins?
I mean, you say that. It's tough. I you know, McDermott, I don't think his problem is the regular season. I think his problem has been the playoffs, obviously. And I, you know, that's the situation where, like, if you fire him, sure, it could get worse. But his thing is, like, and it's the reason they've lost to the Chiefs so, you know, in the playoffs so many times when they've beaten them in the regular season, is it feels like McDermott beats them in the regular season. They get to the playoffs, and he goes, "I'm going to do the exact same thing I did in the first game each time." And each time the Chiefs have come out with a totally different game plan, and the Bills are in cover one, and it's like, what are you doing?
I would say, I mean, if you're comparing McDermott and Reed, I mean, again, Reed is kind of the protege of McDermott, right? But I think, yeah, you could argue that Reed has outcoached McDermott in those playoff games, right? And made adjustments and maybe not shown as much of his cards in the regular season, knowing that potentially, you know, they're going to be meeting again in the playoffs. But if you look at some of these matchups, I mean, they lost 2 years ago, I think it was, on a missed field goal. They've lost twice in the AFC Championship game to them, and they lost on that when they took the lead.
Yeah,
the
insane game, yeah.
Which, like, 99.5% of the time you're going to win the game, mm-hmm. you know, when you take the lead late. So, I mean, again, I know from the outside that means, you know, you didn't get it done, right? But, you know, the Bills haven't ever won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, like, he's quickly climbing the ranks to, you know, where Marv Levy was. And, you know, it's, you know, I could understand the question, but I just think, you know, for Bills fans, I think maybe you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And they have not had this good of a coach in two or three decades.
Yeah.
I hate to bring it to Andy. It's all about 17. If 17's gone, Sean McDermott's a 500 coach at best. And that's just the reality of the sport, though. It's the reality, yeah. It's the reality of the conversation. Like Bill Belichick, again, 500 coach or below without Tom Brady. It's just that's the nature of it. The quarterback's gonna drive the you know, the success of a coach. And I watch the Bills and think McDermott's had his time. If it doesn't happen this year, changes have to be made, because you can't just let Josh Allen's prime keep going with the same coach for not winning anything. Like, it's not society.
I tend to agree with you, but I also look at, like, what Baltimore's doing. I mean, they've got a multiple-time MVP there with a coach who's been there a long time, who's obviously successful. He's won a Super Bowl, but with a different regime of players. You know, nobody's won a Super Bowl besides, you know, people who have kind of sprinkled in between the Chiefs, right? The Eagles and the Rams. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And again, like, you know, Josh Allen is doing things that have never been seen before. And so at some point you're thinking, like, he's got to get at least a crack at the Super Bowl. The problem is the Chiefs have been in the AFC. If the Chiefs were in the NFC, I think the Bills would have probably reached a Super Bowl by now.
I think it comes down to, as far as McDermott's concerned, it comes down to, I think, how they finish the season. You know, if they are one and done in the playoffs, I think they'll probably look at it as like, we have to make a change. And I think if they win a game or two and they don't make it, but they've gone deep again, I think he holds on to his job.
They will mutually part ways if they don't make the AFC title game.
Well, it might depend on, which is weird, but it might depend on who they play in the playoffs, where they play in the playoffs, and what the result is, right? You know.
Oh, I didn't say it would be fair. But it's very possible that it happens that way.
They could lose to it. They could lose in the first or second game, let's say, and depending on the opponent, that could change things, right? He could stay with a certain opponent. He could go if it's a different opponent. Like, you know.
Speaking of where the Bills go in the playoffs and where they're going to be seated, a lot of that will go into next week's game. Mm-hmm. Their rematch of the Patriots. Patriots obviously won the first game. It's been weird following the Patriots this year, Andy, because you talked about, like, there's teams that just, like, move up and down the field easily. Somehow, some way, that's the Patriots this year. Every game, it feels like every time they're on offense, it's like, oh, guys are wide open, and they just slice and dice their way down the field, and they've been blowing teams out, or they've been scoring easily. It's like, it's odd to watch, because it's Stephon Diggs and Mac Hollins, as you know. And, you know, their running game is fairly average, below average, but guys are still wide open all over the field. Their offensive line is kind of makeshift. It doesn't seem to matter. So as, like, look, your divisional hatred aside, when you watch the Patriots or have seen the Patriots play and go back to the first outing, how do you view them? And do you look at this as like the Bills are kind of the underdog now in a sense, in just, you know, towards the end of this year in this division? Do they scare you? Do you still think it's like paper tigers? Like what are your view of Patriots besides like disliking them in the division?
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of questions there. I mean, I think I think the line is already out. I think it's 1.5.
Yeah, Patriots. Bills are favored by 1.5.
Oh, I thought I saw New England.
Really? But no, Bills are favored.
Either way, I mean, I think England's a bit ahead of schedule. I think both of you probably would agree New England's a bit ahead of schedule.
Yeah, Bills last 1.5, yeah.
I mean, I think we've also seen this, right, with young quarterbacks, right? They take that leap. You know, look at Jaden Daniels, right? I know he's been injured this year. He got them to the NFC Championship game last year. Look at C.J. Stroud. Everybody thought he was, you know, fit for Canton, and he's still a solid, I think, but certainly, you know, not in the MVP.
He's not going to Canton. Unless he drives there.
Yeah.
He can visit anytime.
I think Drake May obviously is playing real well. I think the Patriots are scheming things up. I don't think they're beating themselves. You know, you could say that they're playing a soft schedule, which, you know, obviously they have been, but they're still winning games, right? The NFL, it's hard to win games. And to string together 10 wins in a row, I don't care who you are. I mean, that gets your attention. Now, you asked a few different questions there. You know, if this was the Browns and they were 11-2, like I would be fully confident that the Bills could go in and knock them off. Like same players wearing the Browns jerseys. Yeah. But as a Bills fan, I have so much scar tissue built up from playing the Patriots and like losing to the Patriots and like, you know, hearing about, you know, the Patriots beating the Bills and, you know, yada, 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 that, yeah, this because this was still supposed to be Buffalo's division. Yeah, it makes me nervous, especially having to go there. I mean, obviously they got everybody's attention with that win back in whatever that was, week 5, you know, winning on a field goal in Buffalo. Again, the Bills had 3 turnovers and beat themselves, but the Patriots played, you know, they didn't beat themselves. They played a good game and they got the plays done. Now, if the Bills don't turn the ball over 3 times, it's probably a different game, at least, you know, considering the New England kicked a field goal on the last play of the game to win it. And I would argue the Bills probably gave them, I don't have it written down, but at least a few points with those turnovers with short fields and whatnot. So, you know, if the game was in Buffalo, I'd feel a lot more confident. I mean, I still feel confident because, again, I think New England, here's the thing. I think New England hasn't laid an egg yet, right? They haven't had they just combust, right?
Week one was their egg.
Well, right.
Yeah, but that's everybody's, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I've still been waiting, and it's funny, like, watching them, and I haven't, you know, haven't watched enough of their games. I've seen the ones in primetime, obviously, and I've seen the scores, obviously, because I'm trying to keep an eye on what they're doing. But they have not had that game where you're like, okay, and that's why usually teams don't win 10 games in a row in the NFL, right? I don't even know how many 10-game winning streaks Brady had. I mean, right. You know.
No, it's true, yeah. And now the Broncos and Patriots both have 10-game winning streaks.
Right. So, I mean, it's like, you know, so
both with second-year quarterbacks.
Yeah. I certainly think the Bills can go in there and win the game, obviously. I mean, it's a division game. I mean, even if the records were not anywhere near each other, I would think the Bills would go in and give a fight. The fact that they're 2 games behind with this 1 game here, you know, it makes me think that if they go out and play their best game and the Patriots play their best game, I think the Bills can come out and win.
So scale 1 to 10, 1 being you're not concerned, 10 being you're highly concerned. How worried are you that the Patriots are probably going to win the AFC East for the next like 7 or 8 years? Is that a level 1 concern or a level 10 concern?
Well, I think because the Patriots have had this most recent, but you know, besides the Chiefs one that we're kind of living in right now, the most recent, you know, run.
Yeah.
And a lot of it came at the expense of the teams in their division, right? The Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets. You know, that does have me worried, right? Because we've seen it happen. So it's like once you see something with your eyes, you say, like, that can happen again.
Yep.
It's the same reason why, as a Bills fan, like, people are like pessimistic that they'll ever win the Super Bowl, right? And they've never seen it before, right? So I think the Patriots have certainly set themselves up to be, a force to be reckoned with over the next handful of years, barring some sort of weird, you know, thing that happens or injury or, you know, but, you know, I think it should be a good back and forth here. I mean, you know, again, going into the year, I think much like you guys mentioned, I thought it was the Bills division, at least obviously for another year. I still think, you know, I know that I'm sure the odds, I don't know what the odds are, but they beat them. They're within a game, you know, anything can happen at that point, yeah. You know? You know, I'm still haven't written off the AFC East. I had, you know, to a certain extent when they got, you know, trounced by Miami or whatever. And I was like, okay, you know, but you know, I still think they can win the division. Obviously it starts with winning next Sunday first.
I'm not ready to say that the division will be the Patriots division going forward, even if they win it this year, just because I feel like when a quarterback and a team come out of nowhere, you have to see it for more than a year before you're ready to say that. I mean, you know, you mentioned CJ Stroud and that division's garbage, and or has been up until this year, but I'm not, you know, like I think Drake May is really good and I think he's going to be really good, but like until we see it, I think you have to see it for more than a year before you're ready to say that. Craig, I'm curious.
Well, the schedule is the big wild card, right? In the NFL.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you finish first, you have a first place schedule, and that's
first
a
place
lot
schedule
more
sucks.
Difficult.
Yeah, but I'm glad you said that because I get so upset with the schedule conversation. The Patriots and the Bills have 14 of the same opponent. Like, there's only three games that they don't play that are the same. And I understand that they, like, the Bills face the, I'm trying to think of what divisions, the Chiefs, because we're not facing the West. We face the Raiders. The Bills face the Chiefs. And you could do that with the other divisions as well. But it's only a few games. It's we also play the Raiders week one when if we played them in week 10, we'd beat them by 30
yeah.
points.
Well,
it's
some
like,
of that is circumstance too, right? I mean, the Bills just played the Bengals with Burrow.
Right.
Yeah. If Burrow played against the Patriots, does that game get changed? Does the result of that game
well,
get changed?
Burrow should have played against the Patriots.
He should have. Yeah,
he should have. And maybe, yeah, maybe they win that game. You're right.
So,
I think that's more relevant than like, well, their schedule, they have the easiest schedule. It's no, like, okay, so anybody facing the Colts in 2 weeks, like, is that a hard game or an easy game now that Riley Leonard
no,
is
I
the
agree with you. Again, and that's why I give a lot of credit to New England, because to win 10 games in the NFL, I don't care if you're playing the same, you know, the Titans 10 times in a row, eventually right. you're going to drop a game because that's just how things work.
Right.
Craig, how do you
– sucked the first 10 weeks of the season. Now they're unstoppable. So it's like –
they are. Unstoppable.
Rob's Dolphins.
They are my yeah. I had them in the playoffs to start the season. They could still make it. Craig, how do you feel about next Sunday's game from a Patriots fan perspective?
I feel good. The only thing I really don't like is that they're coming off the bye. Like I'm glad that they had it for the rest, and they obviously had, you know, along with a few other teams, had the longest stretch without having the bye week. But they're not really going to get a lot of guys back that were injured, so it doesn't really. Like Milton Williams isn't going to be back. He's somebody that obviously they need back a ton, especially against Cook. But look, I feel good about
Will Campbell won't play either. Yeah,
yeah, Will Campbell won't play. So they're not really getting any. You know, they're not getting any major impact players back. They might get a few fringe guys back, but I don't know. I feel good about it. I think it's going to be a good test for them. I think they haven't. You know, this is a game that obviously, as Andy mentioned, the Pats played very well, sound football in the other game. And I agree that the Bills had some sloppy turnovers against the Patriots in that first matchup. But I think the other part is the Patriots, that was kind of at the beginning of when they started to form their identity and start to play better football. If they come out and play as physical as they did against the Giants in the Monday night game, the Pats are going to win. Like that physicality was unlike anything we've seen from the Patriots this year. Can they do it again? Who knows? But I just like you never really know coming off the bye. Like I know everyone's like, oh, it's the bye. You're rested. You come back fresh. It's like, well, or you develop some bad habits. You read some, you know, you read some stuff about yourself. You go on vacation.
Read your
come
clippings.
Back. Yeah, some clippings.
Well,
you know what I mean though. Like, I feel good about it. I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised the Bills are 1.5 point favorites. I would have thought the Pats by 3.
It may have flipped. Are you sure? Because
it's definitely Bills. It's Bills plus 1.5. Yeah.
And it was 1.5. But maybe
Yeah, it's Bills 1. I would have thought Pats by 3 for sure.
My prediction is the Bills do win.
Really?
And the take in New England is the Pats needed a loss.
What?
the spin in New England will be the Pats needed a loss. Like, well, oh, listen, that's a loss. They needed a loss before the playoffs. That'll be the loss.
I just feel fortunate that, you know, since New England has already, you know, ascended the mountaintop, that they're allowing Buffalo to come in and partake in this week, whatever, 15 matchup, and just giving them a shot, the plucky underdogs.
It's yes. A hat and t-shirt.
Even though they're the favorite.
Hat and t-shirt.
That's true.
God. They're going to be celebrating the AFC's title with a dub. But look, Allen's incredible. I think he's – I mean, I almost asked you guys if you think he threw himself back into the MVP conversation with today's game. But, like,
I mean, that's
– he's so good. He's so freaking good.
I follow all the Buffalo media, and that certainly was the takeaway from that, was that he vaulted himself back into the MVP. And I mean, I think – you know, MVP is kind of strange because it's most valuable player, but it's like, it's usually the most outstanding player.
Right.
Valuable usually is either subjective or not taken into account, because if you took, you know, Drake May off the Patriots and replaced him with, I don't know. Yeah. I guess if you swapped quarterbacks, what would be the records? What's the valuable, you know,
component? Yep.
They just give it to the best quarterback.
Yep. Which is Stafford right now, for the record.
Which is Stafford's usually Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Not this year.
All right. That's a lot of analysis.
Let's move on.
Let's open the pot up.
Yep.
Because there's some
with us if you're still with
there's
us.
there's some stuff that happened on this Sunday.
It's about to get weird.
Let's start with the battle for the AFC North, because I think everybody thought, oh, it's the Ravens now. Ravens are gonna win the division. And I kept saying, look like crap. The Ravens look like crap. They're not playing well. And what do you know? The Steelers win the game. And now the Steelers have the leg up in the AFC North. But thank you to the referees on the Isaiah Likely non-touchdown. So thoughts on just that play?
I'm just not sure why replay assist didn't come in and then they overrule the replay assist. I think we get too into the like minutia of like, what is a catch? And he's in the end zone. Did he complete the catch? Did he make a football move? I mean, like, your eyes tell you the story, right? Like, he caught it. He's running along in the end zone. If he was in the field of play, it would have been a fumble. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know why we're making this more difficult than it has to be.
Yeah.
You know, this is a shame that it happened to the Ravens. I mean, my God, the poor Ravens. I mean, it takes a lot as a Patriots fan to say something nice about the Steelers, but my goodness, the Ravens, go pound sand. They're the ones that started to flakeate a handful of years ago because they were tipping off the Colts as to what happened in the divisional round playoff game. Harbaugh can go to hell. They deserve to lose. I can't believe I believed in the Ravens this year. They are a trash team. They are an absolute trash team. And look, how many times is Isaiah Likely going to be involved in a controversial play, like in the end zone? Like, dude, just make the play and finish the play and then freaking celebrate.
Well, I just love how it's like, well, he needs to make a football move. It's like, well, the football move in the end zone would be what's spiking the football. Like, he doesn't have to go anywhere. what's the football? So they're like, oh, well, he needed a third step.
In the end zone.
It's like, well, what do you mean he needs a third step? Like, what's where does that, like,
3 feet down now?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, one knee equals 2 feet, but 2 feet doesn't equal
3 feet.
A catch. Like, I don't know. The whole thing is stupid, but I'm kind of with Craig. I don't hate the Ravens as much as Craig does, but also, like, sorry, you don't get to get away with playing like garbage all season. And then because you have Lamar Jackson, we just assume that you're the better team. Like, I couldn't stand the, like, are you afraid of the Ravens? You know, when they're like 5-6, like, no. So I don't know.
I will say, watching.
This, but I'm going to be so furious when I have to watch a Steelers playoff game this year. Furious that they're wasting my time.
How many times is Aaron Rodgers going to go? Who's receiver?
Yeah.
Well, I you're saying that about the Ravens, but during the Bills Bengals broadcast, I can't tell you how many times they were like, "Well, the Bengals can still they've got a clear path."
Yeah, mathematically.
Oh my God! I agree.
A team that's won a third of their games, and they're like, well, if they just win out, it's like, well, they've only won 4 times in 12 games. What makes you think they're going to win 5 in a row? Yeah.
I know. And the funny thing is, I actually really like Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow's great at quarterback.
He is.
But, like, people treat it he might be more beloved than Mahomes. Like, whenever Joe Burrow came back, it's like, here comes Joe Burrow. Like, when he threw the pick six, I'm like, you know what? Good. Like, I like Joe Burrow, but, like, it's about time he has a trash throw that ruins a game. So just so that everyone can shut their mouths a little bit.
I will say, it was funny watching the broadcast because they were like, he threw that pick six, and they were like, Joe Davis, who I think Joe Davis is a good announcer, but I feel like this started when the Braves played the Phillies like a few years ago, and I was like, he kept bringing up Citizens Bank Park, and I was like, Joe Davis, I want to like drive you off a cliff here. He's just like, this is the best stadium in best home crowd in baseball. And he must have mentioned it 50 times. And I was like, we got it. We heard it.
He loves the storyline. I do love Joe Davis, but he says, love the storyline.
So he goes, that was Burrow's first interception of the season. Well, then the funny thing is they kick off his next throw is intercepted.
Yeah.
They're like,
Andy, they were also like, well, you know, here comes Joe Cool. You know, he's not going to get rattled by an interception. Like, look, the ball was tipped, like whatever it happens. But it's just like, it's like, well, you know, let's see what he does. Let's see if he gets the Bengals, leads him down a touchdown drive. And it's like, oh, he's intercepted. Lightning strikes twice. Unbelievable.
Joe Davis loves saying lightning strikes. Any sport.
Although on the first pick or on the pick six, he's like, and Benford intercepts it and he's gone. And when he gets in the end zone, he just goes, what just happened?
I do like Joe Davis. By the way, my AFC North take that I wanted to share with you earlier, Craig, that I saved for this is,
yes, please.
If the Houston Texans make the postseason, which I believe they will, I think the AFC North winner should take over the Houston Texans Memorial Saturday 4:30 spot.
Okay.
That should no longer be at the Texans matchup.
You think they graduated?
Steelers or Ravens, whichever you garbage teams wins the AFC
Saturday,
North, 4:30 Saturday. And I know they won't do it because Pittsburgh is a good football city and Baltimore's a good football city, blah, 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 blah.
Well, and especially
probably
if they're playing.
Throw the Texans
like
there.
A 4-5 game and they're playing the Bills or they're playing. It's definitely not. Won't. Yeah.
No, yeah. But it should be. I don't want the Steelers near my television
Texans
on Sunday.
Jaguars, Rob. Texans, Jags, 4:30 Saturday. Book it.
Do you realize the Texans have played 4:30 Saturday every time they made the postseason?
If that's a Jags home game, they just might move it to London to play.
It's like the NCAA tournament. Sure. They expanded and they're out before the tournament even begins. Like they're in Houston.
Yeah, it's like a play-in.
Pack your bags. You're headed to Dayton.
That is, as we are three people who have rooted for teams that have made the postseason fairly regularly during our like prime sports watching years.
Yeah.
I will say, I never want my team playing on Saturday, ever during the postseason. I just don't. If you lose, don't ruin the rest of the weekend for me. Just don't.
Sunday, what about Monday night now? Ugh.
So that's too late. I just don't. I don't know. Yeah. I want the Sunday. I actually want the Sunday one or the Sunday primetime slot. Those are my two favorite slots.
Yeah.
I don't want a Saturday game. Don't ruin Sunday for me. Moving on in the AFC, the Colts, who are already just on their way down with a brutal schedule down the stretch. They lose Daniel Jones to an Achilles, probably tear. I think they just said Achilles injury right now, but he's clearly done. Anthony Richardson is still on IR. If you knew that before the podcast, I'd say you're lying. I just assumed it would be Anthony Richardson. But it's Riley Leonard. They stink. Are you guys now on team the Colts are not making the postseason?
I mean, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I don't know how you could be on. I don't, you know, they're a sinking ship here.
You don't need the schedule. You don't need the schedule to know that they're done. They're absolutely cooked.
Not only is it Riley Leonard, Andy, but they've now lost three in a row. They go to Seattle, then they have San Francisco, Jacksonville, and then at Houston.
They've got a better chance if Peyton Manning suited up for them than having Riley Leonard or whoever else is going to play quarterback.
Can Jonathan Taylor throw the rock?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's going to be bad. I feel kind of bad for the Colts, but like they're kind of cooked.
I have a rant about this game that has nothing to do with the actual game.
What's that?
But this is a trend that, I mean, it started a long time ago, but it just, I don't know why it has bugged me more and more recently. On my Twitter feed, all the time, someone gets injured. Dr. Chung is like, Well, that looks like a grade two patella tendon ACL. But, you know, if he had just planted his foot a little differently, he would have been avoided significant injury. Enough with the doctors. Just treat the people that you need to treat. Don't worry about the athletes. Just let us watch the sports and, like, figure it out ourselves. Like, I don't need the medical. I don't need every MRI result of every sports injury that ever happened. I'm good.
It's the announcement that I'm a doctor, because there's no other occupation in the world where you do the job 40 to 60 hours a week. And then on the weekend, you pretend to do your job on Twitter. Like, it's basically just like, guys, I'm a doctor. I went to med school. I haven't seen this person. They're thousands of miles away, and I'm seeing the exact replay that you are, but I'm going to diagnose it right here on Twitter.
Yep. Well, they would never diagnose it that quick, even in their own office, even if they saw the patient and then they came into their office. So why are they doing it on social media?
Oh, God. Sorry. I'm trying to find one of these tweets real quick, and I'm, of course, can't find it. But it's like,
doctor, when someone comes in with a sports injury, they're like, well, do you have any video of the injury? Did someone filming it? Because then I could really diagnose it right away. I wouldn't even need to touch you.
God, I can't. I don't know if you guys feel it. It's just, it's too much. Like, I'm just, let me watch the sports. Let me get my sports analysis that I want on Twitter. I don't need the Twitter doctors. Like, we can just save it. I can wait till Monday when the news comes out,
right,
or Sunday night. Yeah. I'm good.
All right. No,
wasn't on my list of things that bug me, but I do have a few things that bug me. I'll just rattle them off quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be the replay challenge system, the whole thing. But it's like, if we're replaying and you're challenging it, or they're looking at the video for like what seems like hours, it's not clear and obvious to change, right? Like,
there.
You're breaking it down frame by frame. Like, it's, you're like in PPEX or something. Like, it's, you don't need to, you know.
PPEX shout out. So can I respond to that real fast, Andy? Because I had a developing take this week, because I was watching hockey. Yeah, that's right. Born on skates.
What?
I was watching hockey.
Whoa.
And I realized that there's one rule in hockey that sport has unbelievably awesome, nailed it, that every other sport needs to adopt, which is, if you challenge a call and get it wrong, you should be penalized for it. In hockey, if you challenge a call and you're wrong, it's a 2-minute minor. And I think in the NFL, if you challenge a call and you waste our time and you get it wrong, 15 yards. Other way. In basketball, oh my God, how many challenges do we get in basketball? If you challenge it and it's wrong, technical free throw for the other team. Like, I'm sick of this wasting all of our time. And then in the end, it's like, nah, we had it right. Let's continue. It's like, no. This is we should not be suffering through this.
Agreed.
NHL, and I love the fact that, like, I was happy to be watching a game. Team scores a goal. They challenge for goalie interference. Total time waste. Clearly wasn't. 8-minute review. They come out. Nope. Goal stands. 2-minute minor. Immediate goal on the power play. It was awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Team should be penalized for challenging and getting it wrong in all sports. Continue.
No, the other things I have are flags, especially on kicks. Like, why are there, especially when they fair catch the kick? Why can't you pick the flag up? Like, there was no play, right? He fair caught it. There's no holding or anything. We don't need that. Then I had spotting the ball, which, in there I had the virtual replay. Or remember, we're going to have the virtual measurement. There's going to be like 100 million of those. And
there's been none this year. I still have not seen one.
And the other thing that bothers me is these kicking balls. Like, what is going on? Like, between the kickoff new rule, teams only need like 20 yards to get in field goal range. Like,
it's a Rob's pick on that 70
yard field goals. It's like ridiculous.
I'm almost upset with Andy. He's clearly hasn't listened to every minute of these podcasts. He's a guest and he's missed the kicking ball range.
It's a big moment. Andy's on the first episode where we ever mentioned hockey. So that's impressive.
Welcome, Andy. We're doing a segment next.
Yeah, golf next week.
No, so I
those
totally
are the things that bug me.
I agree with you. Before we move to our bottom five coaches, if we were to run a 2-point conversion, the three of us and 8 other NFL football players, how much better of a play could we do if all three of us had to touch the ball than what the Browns ran today in an attempt to tie the Titans? First of all, do you think that was on purpose? Do you think that was on draft
pick? They were 100% tanking on that play. 100%.
So I don't think they were. I think that guy was supposed to run the double reverse, and he forgot to offer the ball.
He definitely did.
Because as soon as he did, he's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then the audacity to be like, I'm throwing this anyway across the field into double coverage was the freaking best decision I've ever seen.
That was just a hell of a panic move. It was like, oh, man, I messed this up. What am I going to do? I got to do something. I'm just going to throw it.
And is there like, a chance? Yeah.
But they didn't have Shador on the field. Like,
is there a chance though that Kevin Stefanski said you wanted me to have Deshaun Watson, you wanted me to have Shador Sanders on this 2-point? I'm not putting any of them on the field.
It's possible that they're like, screw it. Like, let's just run the most ridiculous thing we have. But they clearly screwed it up so bad. And like, that's one of those things where like, if someone was like, how come everyone always makes fun of the Browns? I'd be like, just watch this play. Yeah. Like, this is the Browns in a nutshell. This is their franchise.
Yep.
That was gross. By the way, the Titans, like, they're the team that scores 31 points on the Browns?
Right.
Their defense has been awesome all year.
We talked last week, Rob, about betting the under in that game. And yeah. I think both teams hit the over themselves.
They slammed. Well, I think the over-under was 33.
All right, what was the final? 31-29?
31-29. Yeah. It was like, what the hell? Unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know why the Titans.
I don't know how much
they figured out the Browns.
Saw that game, though. I don't think there wasn't a big audience for that one.
No. All right, bottom five coaches. Andy, do you want to as our guest? Do you want to kick us off first with your bottom five?
Are we just going 5-1 here?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we go 5-1.
Yeah, you do your list, and then we'll do ours.
No, I think it'll be alternated.
No. Run through your list. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So mine are in order, sort of. Although I didn't have a.
It's not a Chris Berman top five. Don't do a Chris Berman top five.
No, I only had four, so I slid the last one into the number two spot. So they may be recalibrated depending on what you guys think. Number five's Pete Carroll. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, first of all,
the explanation every week.
We didn't bring it up during the show, but they're down 10 points. They throw a long pass. There's a delay of game, which is like an iffy delay of game.
Yeah,
they get more yardage. They're down 10 points with like 2 seconds left. They kick a field goal to cover. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, clearly you're kicking the field goal to get to a 7. It was 8.5. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. Whatever. You're 2-11, Pete Carroll. I don't know. My number four is Dan Quinn. I mean, I know there's been injuries, but you're in the NFC Championship game, and now you're 3-10. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, quite a free fall.
Number three is Jonathan Gannon. I mean, you're 15-31, and I don't have much more to say about him. So I'll just say, since the stupid Hail Murray play, which was back in 2020, the Cardinals' record, and I wrote it down, and he wasn't the coach, it was Cliff Kingsbury. The Cardinals' record, they went to 6-3 with that Hail Murray over the Bills, right? Yeah. 32-56 since that play. The Bills' record since that play, they dropped to 7-3 in that game. Their record is 65-24. So take that, Cardinals.
Yeah.
my number two coach, who I just slid in late, is Raheem Morris. I mean,
good
they're
one.
4-9. Like, I saw them play the Bills, and they had a lot of talent. I know there's been some injuries again, but they have talent. They have a good running back. They have good receivers. They have a good tight end, serviceable to good tight end. Why are you 4-9 in a division that, could be there for the taking if you could just, I don't know, put things together. Yep. And then my number one coach, since we were just talking about him, is Kevin Stefanski. I mean, coach of the year 2 years ago. He was the coach of the year. I think he's a good coach, but I mean, they've kind of set him up to fail, but he's the one failing the test.
Yeah. All right. Rob, you going next? Me?
Sure. Ooh. I'll go next.
Go for it.
My number five is actually Kevin Stefanski. Again, like, two-time coach of the year, and now it looks like he just doesn't care. And I feel like the bar for a head coach is like care and then anything else. So that's a problem. Four, I have Raheem Morris. I just looked it up. You know his name is Raheem Amin Morris? It's like Hakeem the Dream. I'm sorry, like, how many years of the Falcons do we have to be, like, told that they're going to win the AFC South that year? And it's usually that they're like 6-7 and then they finish 8-9. They're 4-9. Like, this is the worst Falcons season we've seen recently, and they always suck.
They have one more win than the Saints.
Yeah. Three, just like Andy, I have Jonathan Gannon. Again, like another team. Now the Cardinals play in a tough division, but every year it's like, watch out for the Cardinals. They're going to be feisty. And I'm like, yeah, the Cardinals, they're going to be feisty. Nope. Every year they stink. No, and I think Jonathan Gannon is one of those guys that just like talks like he's a leader, but I don't think he knows anything about football. Two is Pete Carroll, who he's just so bad. And the thing with Pete Carroll is he's really just at the wrong franchise. He should be the Commanders head coach. Because, like, he reminds me so much of Joe Gibbs and Steve Spurrier. Remember when they hired Steve Spurrier?
Ball coach.
Yeah, like, what? He's just like, I've never seen a sport pass someone by in just one year off. Pete Carroll looks like he coached 30 years ago, took 30 years off, and then he brought him out of the broadcast booth. They're freaking terrible. It's a joke. I know week ones. I throw week one out all the time. And number one is Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
I called this before the season. Yeah, everybody saw it coming, or they should have seen it coming. National media doesn't like to bury teams that they think are fun, so they didn't do it. But like, you knew the Commanders' downfall was coming. I don't care that their quarterback got injured. That team, they were such a fake good team last year. And I'm just glad I don't, you know. Turn the hat around. I'm sick of you. Yeah.
Okay. A lot of familiar names. I am going to bring a new name to the list, and it will not be a surprise if you were listening about 20 minutes ago. I'm looking at you, John Harbaugh. I'm looking at you.
Love it. I almost put him on.
John Harbaugh. Let me give you some numbers. They're 3-5 at home this year. So you say, okay, Lamar was hurt. They didn't have Lamar. You know, Lamar only missed 3 games. They're 5-5 with Lamar. Okay. They're 1-2 without him. Last week kind of got lost in the shuffle because it was Thanksgiving. They lost by 18 at home to Cincinnati.
When you said I'm gonna give you some numbers on John Harbaugh, I literally would have just given you last week's score. That'd been like those are the numbers.
They lost by 18. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the last one. Here's the last number. They are 1-6 against teams that are 500 or better. They've beaten garbage teams. Their only win against the team with a winning record is the Bears. It's the only team that they've beaten that's 500 or with a winning record.
And so, that is a 500 team and masquerading as a 9-4 team.
Lamar's healthy. Like he's missed 3 games, and you won one of them.
Yeah,
be better than 5-5. I would not be surprised if whoever doesn't win that division, that Tomlin or Harbaugh, one of them's gone. I know there were reports this morning that.
Well, they might Tomlin's have multiple decision. Coach firings in that division.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I should have said this. Zach Taylor. Zachary Taylor did not make my list this week, but he's definitely.
What about James K. Polk? Did he make your list? He
did. Harry Truman. Todd Bowles also on the outside looking in. Number 4, Raheem Morris. Rob knows I've been on this guy. Anybody that's been listening.
So bad.
Some quick the facts dream. About Raheem. Raheem the Dream. They have one win since week 6. It was against the Saints. He's 33-56 as a head coach. Ugh.
Yeah.
His last winning season as a head coach was 2010. And they lost 30-9 today.
I never would have known that he had a winning season.
Yeah. 2010. Number 3. Number 3. I think unanimously we all had Jonathan Gannon number 3. And I will just move along cuz you've
already said clearly the third worst coach in the league.
Number 2, Dan Quinn for me. They lost 31-0 to J.J. McCarthy. And also, and I know this is not just his decision, just why are you playing Jaden Daniels? And I know you're playing Jaden Daniels because you're trying to keep your job, but Dan Quinn's going to be gone too. Like, this is just, I think this is how this stuff works. Like, you can't have that big of a fall off. And Mariota's played decently for them, but the Commanders' defense has been terrible. Their receivers are awful outside of McLaurin. And it's just, I think he's going to be gone too. I think a lot of coaches...
Well, they should have beaten Denver.
Zero. I say 0% chance Dan Quinn is fired. Zero.
0%?
0%.
Okay.
Oh, I think they're obsessed with that fake culture there. I think they're obsessed with it. And I think they're so afraid of what the Dan Snyder years brought them for so long that they're like, at least this guy's nice. At least we're competent, I think is how they look at it. I would be utterly shocked if Dan Quinn was fired. Not that I think he shouldn't be. But I would be shocked if he got fired. Adam Peters wouldn't do it.
And number one, Pete Tsipas. It's got to be Pete Carroll. Yeah, I had written this down before this fake comeback that they had today. They were about to lose their fourth straight game by 14 points, if not for that, some of that garbage shenanigans at the end.
Denver can't beat anybody by more than one score.
Good one score win for Denver. But my God, that team has quit on them. I think I texted you guys before. I don't know who's going to do it. I think somebody's going to offer Belichick a job. I do. I think someone's going to do it. I don't know which team. I just look at, there's going to be 7 to 8 openings. And I just think there's going to be some organization that is going to do it as long as he doesn't bring all of the sideshows with him.
Hey, you know what's helping? You know what's helping him is that there are no obvious slam dunk hires.
There's
going to be teams firing coaches. Yeah. Like, who do we interview?
He's going to rotate around. Like if Harbaugh gets let go, he's going to go to another team.
The Eagles' joke of an offensive coordinator is going to get head coach interviews. It's just way it works.
Interview.
Do you, how much you want to bet he gets an interview? I guarantee it.
No. Fine. He's not going to get an interview.
He'll get an interview. All right.
I'm
excited.
Dude,
he's
terrible. Your offense is trash.
I know, but this is the way this world works. It's annoying.
Andy's offensive coordinator is going to get head coaching interviews, not yours.
I know, but I'm just telling you. It'll
happen.
Daniels
is going to get a coaching interview, and he's failed 10 times as a head coach.
That's true. All right. So before we go, Andy, we were talking before the show about Cordica tickets, Ithaca Cortland, Division III rivalry. Every other year now they have it, a big venue. You were at the MetLife game, right?
Yes.
So we were both at the MetLife game. We were both at the Yankee Stadium game. 2026, he'll be back at Yankee Stadium. By the way, good bar setup across from Yankee Stadium. That was an enjoyable little spot underneath the train tracks there.
Yes.
Some weird things are dripping on you, but you just kind of ignore it.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Do you have from our days at Ithaca, do you have a favorite memory involving sports in some way or another?
Well, I was trying to think when we brought that up. I think one of the things, well, two things quickly. One, the Snow Bowl at RPI where.
Oh, yes. That was a Final Four game, right?
It was to go to the national quarterfinals. It was like a.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. The winner was going to go to Minnesota to take on St. John's. And 2 feet of snow fell. It was 2003. 2 feet of snow fell during the game. Basically, guys were running, but they were their knees were up to their chest because they were running through snow piles. That game was crazy. It was a blizzard, basically. And RPI ended up winning that game. It was real close, but that was wild. And then, speaking of Cortland and Ithaca, there happened to be a baseball game where there was a little dribbler back to the pitcher. They threw it to first and someone came through the first baseman, and all of the Ithaca, well, I shouldn't say all, but there was a few Ithaca football players and former football players hopped the fence and everyone just ran on the field. And our friend Ed Cohen happened to be, that was the one game in college he actually had a camera at, and he was videoing it.
That's right.
I got the film. The one game that he had a camera for.
Did he stretch before he recorded the game?
Yes, probably. I think he got
Malice at the Palace.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Those are
so
two
we,
crazy ones.
That I remember both of those very vividly, actually. I mean, I wasn't at the RPI game, but I very much remember it. Cause that was the furthest I think his football team's gone in a while.
A long time. Yeah.
I think it was the year after that. They were the last team in, they played Mount Union in the first round, and Pierre Garçon was the Mount Union wide receiver. Yeah. They got annihilated, obviously. Craig and I, senior year, I was sports anchoring and reporting, and Craig was doing the camera work, and we went to an Ithaca soccer playoff game to cover the game. And in a shocking development, because this is just Ithaca sports, this is not a shot at the soccer team, this is a shot at Ithaca sports in general, home playoff game and they lose. It's like that's like the story of,
Upper Terrace Field. Is that the name?
Upper Terrace Field. Yes. If anybody wants to know, they don't play at a soccer stadium. They play just in a grassy area by the woods. Yeah,
it's like a high school field.
There's bleachers and a camera well, and that's it. So, and this is like the first and only soccer game I attended as an Ithaca college student, because I wasn't on the soccer team and my child wasn't on the soccer team. So what am I doing?
You at have a soccer child in games? College?
So we go and the game ends, they lose in a shootout. And we go onto the field to do a post-game interview. And there's this guy in an Ithaca soccer jacket walking towards us.
So good.
And Craig is rolling and I got the microphone. And this wasn't my first official question, but the first thing I say to him was, are you the coach? And he just stares me down and goes, why don't you do a little bit of research first? And I'm like, dude, is your picture even on the website? Like, you're the varsity soccer coach on a D3 team. Like, we're in the middle of nowhere. Like, so from this point on, this guy hates me. Which is ridiculous, because again, I am a student and he is the Division III soccer coach. And I asked him another question and he gave me a short answer. And I'm at this point, I'm flustered. So I say to him, what do you say to your team in the locker room after the game? Now, mind you, there isn't a locker room for miles.
There's no way they all get to the locker room together.
No, you don't walk. And he goes, nothing. Walks away.
So good.
And to this day, you know, we laugh about like me asking the coach, are you the coach? But like, I didn't know. I just didn't know. It's Division III soccer. And like the research, again, the research I could have done was bombers.ithaca.edu at the time. I think it's now athletics.ithaca.edu. But regardless.
Is he still there?
I don't think he is. I think he was up until like a few years ago, but I don't think he is. And then it was funny. I also asked for an interview with their best player who lived on my floor freshman year and I knew quite well. And he was like, Shiggs isn't talking right now. And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna have dinner with him in like 10 minutes.
I'll just bring my camera to the terrace.
Yeah. See you at the campus center.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So I don't know. Well, good to relive that. We will be looking forward to Patriots Bills on Sunday. Is that a 1 o'clock?
It is. It stayed at one. Should have been flexed. Should have been flexed.
Yeah, although at least I'll be able to watch it. I don't know about you, Andy, but 4:15 games with children, it's like, what a brutal time to try to watch football. I'll take 1 o'clock.
We all have two now, and it makes you really the only safe bet, especially for games that are stressful, are primetime games.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really the only bet.
It's a little different than being hungover trying to get to the Pendleton Center 21 years ago to watch football at 9 a.m.
Never, right. I never missed a Pendleton Center walk, ever.
Yeah. God.
All right, well.
Those are the days.
For Craig,
put sunscreen on before the Pendleton Center walk.
No, I just that was my tan.
Yeah. I forgot to mention I'm representing K113R in this podcast.
That's right. For when you walk in the door.
For when you walk in, of course.
Yeah, I was the first one to arrive in LA, so I chose room L because it was bigger. Yeah.
Proud of you for that, Rob.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I probably should have just driven cross country with you guys. all right, well, for
being kidnapped, need help.
Yeah. We'll get to that another day. We'll have to have Sil on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for Craig and our guest Andy, thank you. And we will see you guys next week. Don't forget to subscribe and download and like and all that nonsense.
Yeah, if anyone's still listening.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Good night, everybody.